Recorded Books and One Click Digital present Red Moon by Ralph Cotton, narrated by George Goodell.
Part 1. Chapter 1. Badlands, Arizona Territory. The young ranger Samuel Burrick lay atop a mammoth boulder, overlooking a stretch of spiny hills skirting the Mexican border northwest of the Nogales Badlands outpost. A storm was hard blowing. Through the lens of an outstretched telescope, he studied three watery figures while raindrops crawled sidelong across the circling lens. To his right, lightning twisted and curled in a gunmetal mist on the distant curve of the earth.
"Tormenta mala de viento, ciclone,"
an old stable hostler had warned him 2 days earlier when the sky over Nogales had taken on a pallid yellow-gray and the hot desert wind began sucking southward like some terrible demon drawing in its breath.
"Here is the stillness before the terrible storm,"
the man had warned in stiff English, raising a crooked cautioning finger.
"The longer the stillness, the more terrible the storm,"
he'd added, lowering his voice as if such information were privy only to himself and the ranger. Sam had simply nodded in reply. Storm or no storm, he had a job to do. Weather was just a factor to acknowledge, but not a factor to concede to. He thought of the old man when the stillness lingered throughout that day and part of the next as he'd pushed on. He'd kept watch on the sky, for what good it did him, watched it gather and loom until at last a roiling blackness rose from the bowels of the earth and robbed the morning of its light, falling upon the earth as if in vengeance.
"Good prediction, hombre," Sam reminded himself with no real surprise, reflecting on the old hostler's conversation from 2 days ago. Before leaving town, he had said gracias to the old man for his warning as he unrolled his brown rain slicker and put it on. With his big Colt resting on his hip, protected beneath the slicker, he'd tied down his bedroll atop his saddlebags and stepped up into the roan's saddle, spreading the tails of his long rain slicker down the horse's sides. He'd reminded the hostler that bad weather did not stop bad men, and the old Mexican had shrugged his thin shoulders, either in sympathy or resignation, and stood watching as the ranger turned to ride away.
"Go with God," the old man had whispered in Spanish, seeing the ranger's headstrong, surplus roan balk and sidle and shuffle on its hooves.
"Always," the ranger had replied, tipping a gloved hand as he'd gathered the unruly roan beneath himself and chucked the animal forward. The roan snorted and grumbled in protest, but did the ranger's bidding all the same.
And so their journey had gone.
Bad man and lawman, Sam thought now, in retrospect, holding a tight focus on the three faces beneath their wet wind-bent hat brims. They tugged and tightened their drenched hats down against a hard blow of wind, the loose tails of their rain slickers wagging and flapping wildly like the tongues of a gaggle of lunatics. He might say that times like this, neither lawman nor outlaw had sense enough to get in out of the rain. But that wasn't being fair to his own profession, his brothers in arms. Lawmen endured bad weather because their work required it. Outlaws, murderers, and rogues of the kind he pursued played out their hands fast and loose, with no regard for weather or anything else. He suspected that deep down, the lawless realized the broad possibility of each day being their last, and he understood their thinking. It gave lawmen like himself little choice but to follow the lead set forth by their miscreant prey, no matter the climate, no matter the trail. And that's the whole of it. He drew a closer focus and moved from face to face on the subjects in the small round frame of the wet lens. He could see their lips moving. An arm pointed off toward the trail rising and falling out of sight across a sandy stretch of squat cactus and scarce patches of spindly wild grass standing cowed beneath the gray blowing deluge. The arm belonged to the group's leader, Wilson Ores. And had Sam not known it already, he would have deduced it, seeing as how these other two appeared to listen to the man, nodding in agreement, checking the...